1 Corinthians chapter 3, I am now on the last few verses. Now, this may be all I do for now from 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And I want to read the last three verses. And basically, this is Paul's summary to all that he said thus far. Basically, the first part of verse 21 is his summary to what he said, and then the rest of it is a conclusion to the summary he makes. Verse 21, therefore, let no man glory in men.
Amen.
Four. And he's going to give one last statement of reasons why. Let no man glory in men, for all things are yours.
Yes.
Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, and I, as far as I understand, that means Peter, as far as I can tell from any studies and all. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, and then here's an amazing statement, or the world.
Yeah.
Or life or death. Or things present, or things to come. All are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's.
Yes.
Now, this is probably well known, but I will say it again. I've mentioned it probably several times. But we live in a day and age in which the norm, in which it is common for men to boast on other men. We live in a day and age when men not only boast amongst themselves, about themselves, or boast on someone else, and this is not really new, because Paul spoke of it himself, but we live in a day and age in which men and women love to judge themselves or compare themselves amidst themselves. They like to judge themselves and others based upon themselves and others. And I believe, let's see, I probably can't turn right to it. But the Apostle Paul made the statement, I can't find it, where he says that those who judge themselves amongst themselves, they commend themselves by themselves, they basically compare themselves amongst themselves, he says these people are not wise.
Yeah.
If we want to compare ourselves to anything, there are three, I won't say possible, but there are three good things to compare ourselves to. One is God's holy law.
Yeah.
You want to compare yourself to something? Compare yourself to God's holy law.
Yeah.
Because God's holy law reveals to us who we really are.
Exactly.
You see, God's law doesn't tell us how to live. God's law shows us how dead we are.
Exactly.
That's the purpose of the law. Yeah. Now, I wish I could keep the law. I love God's law. The way you hear some people preach, when they preach about liberty, they preach as though somehow the law is bad.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul says the law is holy, just, and good.
Amen.
The law is holy, the commandments holy, just, and good. Another thing to compare ourselves with is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even there, I fall far short.
Yes, sir.
Because the gospel is a message about a person. A person who honored God in every thought, word, and deed. That's what the gospel declares. The gospel's good news about a person. It's not good news about us.
Exactly.
And yet, I fall far short. And there's one other thing we can compare ourselves with, and it's sad that men basically do this, but in a distorted way, and that is with God Himself. You see, I can't even touch the law, let alone be like God.
Exactly.
And yet, Scripture says, even David said it of his time, which was what, 2,000 or 3,000 years ago? somewhere around that 2,900 years ago, 2,800 years ago, where David said they make their God like unto themselves.
Exactly.
You see, men don't truly compare themselves with the law. They compare themselves with their opinion of the law. Men don't truly compare themselves with the gospel because they don't know the gospel.
Exactly.
Those who know the gospel dare not compare themselves to the Christ of the gospel. And men do not truly compare themselves to God because they indeed do not know God. Now, with the truth we have here before us, what I've just read, where Paul says, therefore let no man glory, that word glory means to boast, to brag about, to brag in, to brag on. Therefore let no man boast in men. You can say it that way. It's an equivalent. The reason is, for all things are yours. Now with this truth we have here, as well as the preponderant testimony of Scripture, all glorying is to be in the Lord.
Yes, sir.
All glorying. Now it's not just why glory in the good news of my salvation. I glory in everything. The glory of everything is to be in the Lord.
Amen. Yes, sir.
James puts it this way. If we think within ourselves, well, tomorrow I'm going to go do this and do that. Tomorrow I'm going downtown and I'm going to sell goods and I'm going to profit. I'm going to make money. And James says what we ought to say. And it's usually most people who are even seemingly trying to say it still don't say it. They usually say, if the Lord will, we'll do this tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's not what it says. Now, that's included. Yeah. But it says, if the Lord will, we shall live.
Yeah.
Because the question is, will I even live tomorrow?
Exactly.
Not just, am I going to do this or that tomorrow? I may be pushing up daisies tomorrow. I could be worm food tomorrow. It's not just if the Lord will, I'll do this or that. It's if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, since Paul puts it this way, and this is the way my mind began to grasp a hold of this, since all things are yours, then nothing is mine. Right? You see, generally, when we think about salvation, and there's a reason why we should do it to a certain degree, when we think about salvation, we think about it personally.
Yeah.
And this is right because even our Lord said, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. He says, I call them by name.
Amen.
But God didn't give me all things. He gave us all things.
Exactly.
All things are not mine. As a matter of fact, Paul didn't even say, for all things are ours. Did he? Because Paul here, remember, is combating this boasting and bragging that the Corinthians were doing over men. So Paul is removing himself and saying here, don't boast in men. Because everything's yours.
Yeah.
All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things are yours. And what most, when I read this, I thought, well, how do you explain all that?
Mm-hmm.
And as I began to look in Scripture, I found out you can't. Usually when Paul states this truth, he states it just about like this. Right? We know that very familiar passage, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And then he goes on to list this great list of things. And what is it? Some of them are very similar to this, right? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But note here, it's actually put in the negative. These things are almost declared to be our enemies. Right? They're declared to be that amongst that group of people that is said to be against us.
Yeah.
Who in truth could not be against us because God is for us.
Exactly.
But here Paul's not talking about what can't take us away from the love of Christ. Here Paul's actually emphasizing those things that are there for our benefit.
Yes.
Right? For our benefit. And again, I want to stress this. Since all things are ours, then nothing is mine.
Yeah.
It's no wonder that Paul says things like this. And if you want to follow along, I'll give everyone time to kind of turn. But I want to give you three passages. Philippians chapter 2 to begin with. It is no wonder then, since this is true, that is all things are ours. Now ours who? God willing, we'll look at this a little more in a little detail just moments later, but all things are not all men's. And all things do not work together for all mankind. Some things are to some men's destruction.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, even the gospel is not said to be the gospel to everybody.
Right. Exactly.
It's a sweet savor to some. It's a sweet smell. It's like that sweet incense or perfume. It's sweet to some. And it's a savor of life unto life.
Yeah.
But even God's blessed gospel is not that to every man.
That's right.
To others, the gospel is a savor of death unto death. As a matter of fact, Peter so puts it that there are some people that it would have been better off that they had not even heard the gospel.
That's right.
Yeah. Because some of them in hearing it have turned to it, but only turned to it evidently in the power of the flesh.
Yeah.
And they turned back to their former way. And Peter said it had been better for them not to even heard the way of truth. Mm-hmm. And after they heard it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Our Lord said it had been better if some men had a millstone hanging about their neck and they were drowned in the sea.
Yeah.
That's the way our Lord put it.
Yes, sir.
That's real love, ain't
it?
That's real compassion. That's what he said.
Exactly.
Because of some men's ways, because of some men's deeds, our Lord was saying it would have been better for them to have been drowned at sea before these things took place. He even puts it so much so that it had been better that some men hadn't even been born.
Exactly.
But I tell you what, they were born.
Yeah.
And the breath that they had to breathe, the strength that they had to move, the heartbeats that they had to live with came from the sovereign God himself.
Amen. That's right.
God told us in a general way, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and all we do to some is make their damnation worse.
Exactly.
Because it had been better had they not even heard it.
Yeah.
Because men will be judged not by simply what they've never heard, but they'll be judged by what they've heard.
Yes, sir.
And by what they know. But it's no wonder with passages like, all things are yours, Cephas, Apollos, Paul, the world, things present, things to come, that the Apostle Paul writes things like this. Remember what I said, if all things are yours, if all things are ours, I can say that to us.
Yeah.
If all things are ours, then nothing is mine.
Yeah. That's it.
In chapter 2 of Philippians, Paul says, if there be any consolation in Christ,
mm-hmm.
if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And how is that defined? Here's how it's defined. Let nothing be done through strife or what? Vain glory.
Yeah.
Now what is vain glory? Vain glory is glorying in anything other than the Lord.
Amen.
That's vain glory.
Yeah.
Why glory in Paul? Don't glory in Paul. Glory in the Lord.
Yeah.
Why glory in Cephas? Don't glory in Cephas. Glory in the message Cephas preached. Because it's God's message. Remember, the planter and the waterer are nothing. But the planting and the watering is everything. It's vital. It's essential. But who does it's not the point. Let nothing done be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That even, think about it, this even goes beyond the law.
Yes, sir.
Does it not? Huh? The law simply says love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? That's something we can attain unto. And yet here, under grace, we see that we're to esteem not you as equal with me, not to love you as I love myself. I'm to esteem my brothers and sisters in Christ better than myself.
Amen.
And that is impossible apart from grace. And when I say impossible apart from grace, I'm not talking about just a theory. The only way you'll esteem anyone else better than you is when God continually brings you down to remind you of what you really are. That hurts. It bites. It stings the conscience and the inner self. It stabs at the ego. Yet that's the only way I can esteem someone else better than me, is by remembering what I am by nature. Somebody says, they're that too. That's not the point. That's not the point. I'm not to esteem everyone as they are in Adam. Am I? We are to esteem each other better than ourselves.
Exactly.
And you know what? That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. People get along when you can do that.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yes, sir.
You can actually get along if you can do that. If you actually put the well-being of others first, you get along.
Yes, sir.
This is what that person needs. They come first. But what do we do generally?
Yeah.
This is what I want.
Yeah.
You see, when Paul says all things are ours, it's not so that I can say, well, I get what I want. It's so that we can say as God's people, we have what we need.
Amen.
Exactly.
See? We have what we need. Here's another passage, Ephesians chapter 6. Now the Bible is just chock full of these little statements like this. But Ephesians chapter 6. And basically, if you look at the context here, Paul is saying to believers, here's how you ought to conduct yourselves. Joe, here's how you ought to walk. In some things, he says, here's what you should do, here's what you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Now, Paul doesn't try to give these precise, intimate details to every aspect of life because there's not enough books in the world to do that with.
Yeah.
He simply gives generalities. Children, obey your parents in the Lord.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
Now, you got to obey them here, but not over here. You ought to do it when this happens, but you don't have to do it when that happens. You know why? Because we would all play as close to the edge as we could if we had an answer for everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But look at children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father. Servants, verse 5, be obedient to your masters, right? Look, all of this context, he said, here's the way God's people ought to walk. But then notice what he says, not, verse 6, not with eye service.
Yeah.
As men pleasers.
Exactly.
Now they put that a different way nowadays. Mm-hmm. And I probably ought not put it that way. But you probably know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Don't be a man pleaser. You don't have to be a man pleaser. Mm-hmm. You don't have to follow your boss around like a little puppy dog. You're not doing your job. The job that you do, you don't do it to please him.
That's it.
There's two reasons why you do it. One, to give to others that are in need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the primary reason is to honor the Lord God.
Amen.
Not do all of these, not with eye service, do all of these things, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart. Somebody said, but I'm such a sinner, I can't do that. If you can't do that, you're an unregenerate sinner.
Yeah.
then you don't know the grace of God.
Right.
Because if you're a regenerate sinner, you can do what God commands you to do. You might not do it fully, you might not do it wholly, but you can still do it. And let me tell you, it's usually not too hard for me not to try to please men.
Yeah.
Especially where I work at. I've told you this before. I went to the doctor and, you know, had my blood pressure checked. Your blood pressure's a little high. Yeah, it's a little high. Then he gave me some medicine and he said, well, you know, now your blood pressure's a little low. We need to bring that up a little. Well, I told him how I could bring that up a little. I said, I could eat more salt, smoke more cigarettes, and drink more whiskey. It'd come right on back up where it belongs. He didn't seem to agree with that as the remedy. And he's probably right. That's probably not the way to remedy it. I said that for a laugh. But he said, oh, I understand, you know, your high blood pressure. You're a stressful job. You work with inmates. And I looked at that doctor and I meant this. Now, we might chuckle at it, but I meant this. I said, my problem ain't with the inmates, it's the state employees. I expect the inmates to be like they are. They're locked up for a felony. They have a mindset that's opposed to societal rule. They don't want society ruling over them. They're not my problem. And when it boils right down to it, that is, it's not the criminal mind that's our problem. It's the Adamic mind that's our problem.
Yeah.
The Adamic mind can be a religious mind, but that's still a problem.
That's exactly right.
No, don't be a man pleaser. Don't do it with eye servants, but do it as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, if you don't do it because you want to, then just quit trying. Because it's a waste of good breath. I'm serious. It's just most people, I'm afraid this is so, most people do what they do of a ecclesiastical nature, if I can put it that way, or a religious nature. They do it because they want everybody to know, well, this kind of person I am. Don't do it to please men. Do it as though you're doing it in secret and nobody else knows about it but God Himself.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, how am I ever going to climb the ladder? Let God lift you up the ladder,
yeah,
if He's pleased,
amen,
to do so. Let Him take you up the ladder. And if He has purpose for you not to climb the ladder, if He declares that at least that's to your well-being, you don't want to be climbing that ladder anyway.
That's right.
Exactly. Because He may let you start to climb it and then jerk it out from under you.
Well.
No, we're to do the will of God from the heart with goodwill. Doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So see, David, this is not just in what we believe about the gospel. This is not just we give glory to God in some Calvinistic sovereign grace way. It's not just that. It has to do with how families deal with one another, how parents deal with children, how children deal with parents, how slaves deal with their masters, and masters deal with their slaves. How employees deal with their employers. How employers deal with their employees.
Exactly.
This not bragging on men and not doing things for men's glory has to do with all the believer's life.
Yeah.
That's why all things are yours.
Yes, sir.
Not just the gospel is yours.
Mm-hmm.
All things are yours. The world,
yeah,
life, death, things present, things to come. There's another passage, Galatians chapter 6. Is it any wonder then when Paul says, all things are yours, according to Scripture, we ought to think, well, then nothing's mine. Right?
Yeah.
Nothing's mine, because truly, I'm not here for me. I'm here for you. And you're not here for you. You're here for us. You see? And when it all boils down to it, Paul doesn't just leave it that way. He said, you're Christ.
Yes.
And Christ is God's.
Amen.
You see, even Christ took on a subservient nature. He took up on the nature of a man, the creature.
Yes, sir.
And it says He became obedient. Even how far? How far? Even unto death.
Amen.
Even the death of the cross. And that was a shameful thing to him to go through. He hung there in open, naked shame. He didn't have even on that loincloth. You see him on these little crucifixes. He hung there openly naked. The God of all glory, the Creator, hung there as his creatures railed on him and beat him and spit on him. Can you imagine that? And you know why he did that? Because he came to be God's servant.
Amen.
Now you want to talk about an example of how to live. There's an example of not only how to live, but how to what? How to die.
Yes, sir.
How to die. Galatians 6. Now this is familiar. And the context here, Paul's saying some people want you to do what they're telling you to do so that they can what? Glory in your flesh.
Yeah.
Look at the last part of verse 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. And that's a pun. That's a pun that the apostles use. Well, they talk about circumcision. And so they can glory in your flesh, but it's deeper. They want to glory, and we got them to do what we told them to do. Now, what is Paul's answer? But God forbid that I should glory save what? Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me stop to say, he is not talking about that piece of wood our Lord hung on. He's talking about his sufferings. His cross, where our Lord said, remember, take up your cross and follow me. We don't all have little sticks of wood. Talk about your suffering, his suffering. But God forbid that I should glory. How? Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And let me tell you, that's what it takes. Job, to be able to walk opposed to the way most people walk, and to set forth a sincere, honest, from the heart desire to walk differently takes the work of Jesus Christ in the heart.
Amen.
This ain't something you can just decide to do.
Yeah.
Now, you may decide to do that, and you'll put forth a good effort, but you won't last.
Yeah, that's it.
And eventually you'll find out, it ain't. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it because I want to. I've done it because I felt I had to. You know, most people become a Christian for one reason and one reason only. To miss hell.
Yeah.
And the majority of people will go to hell.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, we did all of this. And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. But then he said, a few. He said, there's many that go in the broad way. What's the broad way? Depending on your works.
Yep.
Depending on your own efforts.
Yes, sir.
But few there be that go in at what the straight and the narrow way. That's when you've got to repudiate your works.
Yes.
In my hands, no price I bring.
Amen.
Simply, and I will change a little, to Christ. I'll claim. Christ. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not. That's what he says, basically.
Yes, sir.
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. But what? What does avail?
Yeah.
What does make the difference? A new creature.
That's right.
Amen.
And being a new creature ain't just accepting the doctrines of free sovereign grace. It changes your whole outlook on life, your whole outlook on death, your whole outlook on the world, your whole outlook on Christ.
Amen.
Repentance is not just from sin, it's toward God.
Amen.
Men's minds are not only changed about what sin is, but about who God is.
Right, amen.
Paul said, we preach repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Is it any wonder that you read these passages? If all things are ours, then nothing is mine.
Yeah.
See, God didn't save me just because God felt sorry for me.
Exactly.
God saved me to glorify himself. But he didn't see fit just to save me. David, I'm going to put it this way, and there may be a better way to put it, but that wasn't good enough for God. God was pleased to save us. Now he saves me individually. And he saved you individually. But he didn't save me just to save me. And he didn't save you just to save you. He saved us. And he saved us that he might glorify and honor himself.
Amen. Yes, that's right.
Truly it is said, Romans 8:28, I'll quote it again now. And we know, we may not always feel this way, but we do know it.
Yeah,
we know, especially those of us who've been in the way for a while, we know this. We know it by experience.
Yeah.
And we know that all things work together for good. But it doesn't stop there.
Right.
It's to them that love God. But it doesn't just stop there, because almost everybody loves God, don't you know? You go ask everybody, go down the street today and say, do you hate God? Well, of course not. Now, it might be the drunkenest, dope smokinest, and they might even go to the movies too. They might even use tobacco products. Let me tell you something, right? In this day and age, you're the worst thing. Ain't nothing worse to walk up on an ex-smoker nowadays, and you still are one. Because they can make you feel like you got the flames of hell dancing all around you already. And I'm being silly now. The whole point is, it's to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
A lot of people love their idea of God. They don't love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
And a lot of people love God as long as I can love him from a distance.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't want him ruling over my life.
Exactly.
Well, let me tell you, if everything's ours, then my life's not mine.
That's right.
It's yours. It's Christ's.
Yeah.
It's God's. Right? All things work together for good, but it's to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now here's the thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ told some people one day, I kind of take it, Joe, that he looked them right in the eye. You know?
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't looking down at his message, you know, at his sermon notes. He wasn't looking down at the Bible. He looked them right in the eye and says, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. Now the problem is, I can't say that to a person. I know that truth is true.
Yes,
but I can't look at an unbeliever and say, the reason you don't believe is because you're not one of the sheep. Because that person may be a sheep, and it's just not God's time for them to believe yet. But the principle's still true. Some men do not believe because they are not God's sheep. And the point is this, if you don't believe, you got no right to claim to even think that you're one of God's sheep. If you've not been called according to his purpose, you can't say all things are mine. You can't even say all things are ours. But if God's called you according to his purpose, then you can say all things are ours. All things are. I think that men are for our good. And specifically in our text, it is those who preach the gospel. Right? Paul's yours. Cephas is yours.
Yes.
Apollos is yours. I think about that. Apollos, the eloquent speaker. And some men can say it better than others, can't they? Some men can say it better than others. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging that, but you just don't give the man the glory for it. You give God the glory for it. Some men can deal with doctrine better than others. I would say that'd be Paul. Don't you think so? Huh? Some men can deal with doctrine better than others, but it is not a precise understanding of doctrine that makes the difference. It's a new creature. It's being in Christ. It's being called according to his purpose. It's loving him as he is. Yes. Not as you want him to be, not as you'd like him to be, but as he is.
Exactly.
Men are far good. And think about, I mean, here you got old Peter. I can relate to Peter. I like listening to Peter because I know Peter can say, you know what? I've been there.
Exactly. Yeah.
You say, but I failed. I failed miserably. I fell flat on my face. Peter would say, I've been there. You know, I've been there. I can relate to what you're saying. I can relate to you having been there. I can relate to hearing the cock crow.
Exactly.
And just the shrill warning that sounds like. But see, the whole point is, all these men are ours.
Yeah.
You see?
Exactly.
But here's another. The world is for our good.
Mm-hmm.
That's odd, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
The world's for our good. In what way? In whatever way God wants it to be. And that's about all I can say about that.
Exactly.
All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Life is for our good. And then He turns around and says, death is for our good. You see, death is the way the majority of us are going to be with Christ. The majority of God's people will awake in God's presence through death.
Amen.
Not through being changed.
Yeah.
There will be some, but compared to the whole, it's going to be a small group.
Yeah.
The majority of us will meet our Redeemer through death. It's the doorway to glory.
Amen.
Joe, it's how we got to get there.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not one who's saying, boy, let it come on today. Now, there's times I've felt that way. That's just because I got a morbid mind. That's because when the trouble comes, I want to be rid of the trouble. Huh? Oh, I'm ready to die today, Lord. And then when you get that fresh breath in the next morning, you think, boy, I'm glad I didn't die yesterday. Huh? Especially when you had a fishing trip on the plants. And you caught one. No, see, that's the whole, you know, we all have our feelings. We all have these ideas about how this ought to be. The truth is this. Whether we can explain it all, men who preach the gospel, they're ours.
Yes, sir.
There is no need for jealousy or ego there, is there?
Exactly.
Mm-mm. There's no place for it. I'm not saying it ain't there at times, but there ain't a place for it. It's not valid. Men are our world. The world's for our good. Life's for our good. Death's for our good. Then Paul says things present and things future. They're for our good. They're ours. They just cannot. It's not just they cannot separate us from the love of God. That's true too. But they're ours.
Exactly.
Joe, that's a whole different realm of these things just not being able to separate me from the love of Christ. Those things are there for my actual benefit. You see, I can take hope, and that's the word I believe I have to use. I can take a hope in exactly who I am today.
That's it.
But it's not because of anything intrinsically in me.
Amen.
It's because God is working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Amen.
Thus, my time's about gone, and it's almost eating time. Thus, as I said, jealousy, pride, malice, ego. You know what ego is, don't you? It's me. It's me. I. There's a place for I. Right here in your head. That's about the only place for I. Right here. Jealousy, pride, malice, ego. All of these things, they have no place amidst God's people. Now, they're here amidst us. If we could always remember all things are ours, we'd get along a whole lot better, wouldn't we? We'd get along. We would benefit one another a whole lot better. But you know what? Do not misunderstand me. I am not standing here rebuking you, this group here today. I'm here to thank God Almighty for this group here today. Because I see very little of this jealousy and pride and malice and ego. You hear me? I see very little of that. It's there. It's among us. But it's usually marked for what it is.
Yeah.
It's our enemy.
Yeah.
it's not our blessing. Okay, it's not, I'm not saying it's not that we don't have it, but it doesn't rule this assembly.
Exactly.
It doesn't rule our lives.
That's it.
And in that, I don't glorify you. I certainly don't glorify me. You know who I glorify for that? God Almighty.
Amen.
Because not every assembly can say that.
Yep.
Not every assembly can say, we're a family. You know that? Now, they might say it knowing it's a doctrine of Scripture that we're the family of God, David. But this group is a family. We've been through thick and thin. We've been through hell together.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We've seen each other suffer things that just rips your soul out.
Yeah.
Huh? But because we have that sweet, I am Christ and you are Christ. And Christ is God's, and everything is ours.
Amen.
We can deal with these things together. Now, I can't deal with them on my own.
Yeah.
I know the way I conduct myself when I'm on my own. I know the griping and the murmuring and the complaining when I'm on my own. But when I'm with you, whether it's here or whether I think about you in my mind, David, it tempers the soul. It makes you think reasonably. It makes you think scripturally. It makes you think, listen, if all things are ours, if they're there for our good, if all of this is happening and it's working together for our good, then I can bow down with my brothers and sisters to God.
Yes, sir.
You know, it is easier to bow down with the crowd. But it's okay if the crowd's bowing down to God.
Amen.
Exactly.
You know? Now remember, I know that group of people back here in Nebuchadnezzar's day, they bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar. And when men do that, you ought to stand up and don't bow down. But let me tell you something. When those Jews approached that temple and they bowed down, you ought to bow down with them. If you're bowing down to the majesty of God, it's all right if you're bowing down with the group. That's what the group does. It's okay to bow down with the group. Why? Because we're not bowing to one another. And we're not bowing to circumstances. We are bowing to the God of circumstances. To the God who controls circumstances. Now let me just give you this. Even our Lord taught this truth during his earthly ministry, even about himself, did he not? He said the Son of Man came what? Not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He said, you want to be great? Become a servant to your brothers and sisters. That's the greatest place. It's not to be standing on the high seat with the praise and the accolades. It's down there in the dirt doing the dirty work. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. But here's what he said. And to give his life a ransom for many. Now I was going to say a good bit more. And I probably will say that, but in a different context later on. About this point. But here's the point. You see, when we emphasize this point, that Christ gave his life a ransom for many. And we emphasize this. He did not give his life a ransom for everyone without exception. Jesus did not die for everybody. He died for the church. He died for the sheep. He died for the elect. We do not emphasize that because we believe what you've got to believe is some people he didn't die for them. That's not the point. What we're declaring is those that he died for, he actually, literally did something for them.
Amen.
We want you to believe that. I don't care if you believe he died for 1 or 10 million. That's not the point. However many he died for, he did what he died to do. That's faith. Faith is not believing he died, because that's a fact. It ain't going to make it true or wrong. Right or wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ died, and you can't change that whether you believe it or not. And it doesn't matter how many people you believe he died for. The point is this, when he died on that cross, do you believe he reconciled men to God?
That's
The book says he did. The book says he justified us by his blood, and his blood was offered once forever. See, I don't believe to get justified. I don't believe to get reconciled. I don't even believe to get saved. I believe that I am justified. I believe that I am reconciled. I believe that I am redeemed. I believe, Joe, because I have been saved. And that's why John writes that we are to believe the record God gave of his son. That's not the historical fact of his dying for men. That's not the point. But it's to believe the record says Christ did these things when he died. Hebrews 1, he put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
Father, I pray as we continue that we may fellowship together to enjoy each other's presence. Just to enjoy each other's presence, to enjoy each other and one another. We thank you, God, and give you all the glory for our fellowship, because I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.